Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
I recently found out that you can see a personal dietitian covered by insurance. There's this platform called Nourish that will match you with a dietitian based on whatever your concerns are, whether that's weight loss, eating disorders, autoimmune conditions, or something else. They're actually a network with major insurance providers, so most patients pay $0 out of pocket. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Hey, it's me, Paige DeSorbo, and I'm so excited to share my new shoe collection at DSW, filled with my favorite styles and trends for spring. Because if you know me, you know I'm kind of obsessed with shoes. And by kind of obsessed, I mean head over heels. You're going to love these shoes. So snag super cute styles like cute flats, fun heels, and cool sneakers from the Paige DeSorbo collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
All right, so the real question to start today is, did you stay up for one shining moment? Raise your hand if you stayed up for one shining moment. There's one of us that has their hand up in this double studio.
Listen,
Josh Schmidt.
4 a.m. comes early. Leave me alone.
I'll admit, it was the first time in a few years that I stayed up for one shining moment. But I wanted to watch it. And partly because it was a really good basketball game. Score-wise, drama-wise, it was not the best played basketball game. Did you watch the game?
Yeah, it was pretty sloppy and choppy.
Yeah, I mean,
what'd you think of that ending sequence? It was pretty crazy.
Well, good question that I'm going to ask TJ Reeves. He is the Buccaneers sideline reporter, my sideline reporter from another mother, but he also is a college basketball announcer. He does play-by-play, and he's at the Final Four. He's there. He's in San Antonio. We're going to talk to him today at 10:30. And one of the questions I'm going to ask him is this. Did Houston lose it or did Florida win it? And I think in the final sequence, I give more credit to Florida than I criticize Houston. I think I criticize Houston for the final several minutes. They lost that game. Florida did not just take it to them the last several minutes. Houston made mistakes. And Florida capitalized. You give them credit for that. But to me, Florida won the game on the final possession with great defense. They just didn't, they smothered them. They did not allow, you get the ball out to the wing, and all of a sudden, you have two guys rushing at the ball handler. You throw the ball to the top of the key, you have two more guys rushing at the ball handler. You throw the ball to the other wing, and suddenly here comes the closeout. What a great closeout, which forces the Houston guard to go up in the air and then bounce the ball down, and he knows right there, it's a walk. If he touches the ball, it's up and down, it's walk, it's, you know, travel. That's elite. He can't do that. So he knows that. And the game is over essentially right there. So, what? It's funny. See, now I do not want to be the hot take machine here. You know that, here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. But I just said something to Josh, and it's the exact same question they're having on the Hot Take Machine ESPN, but I will say it's not the Hot Take Artists like normally. This is Ryan Clark talking with Seth Greenberg, and he says, and it says, title game more of a Florida comeback or Houston collapse? So I think it was more of a Houston collapse for the last couple minutes. I think it was more about Florida's defense in the final possession. That's the way I look at it. We're going to talk with TJ Reeves coming up. He is, like I said, the Buccaneers sideline reporter in the NFL. But the reason I'm going to have TJ on today, he's at the Final Four. He's in San Antonio covering it. He does a lot of college basketball play-by-play, and he's there as part of, you know, the college basketball scene. So we'll talk with him, ask him exactly, you know, what he thinks about how everything unfolded yesterday. Before we get to that, though, in just a moment or two, we're actually going to have on the air, we got to do this a little bit earlier today because we set this up, and I really wanted to bring it to you because today's the day where they're kind of promoting it and in town. The Paralympics, the World Para Hockey Ice Hockey Championships is coming to Buffalo this year. That is coming to Buffalo May 24th through May 31st this year at the Lecom Harbor Center. All right, and tickets are going to go on sale. They are on sale, I believe. That, in fact, they are now. You got USA, Canada, China, Korea, Germany, Czechia, Slovakia, and Norway. They're all coming in for the Paralympics Ice Hockey Championships. We've had these in the United States before, and we have some incredible athletes in the Paralympic competitions and in sled hockey. So we're going to talk with maybe one or both of Jack Wallace, who's on the U.S. national team, and Kevin McKee, who's also a member of the national team. They're going to join us here in just a couple of minutes, and you can kind of learn a little bit more about it. So we'll talk with them and, you know, what's going on as they're in town promoting it and also getting ready for the actual competition, which is at the end of May. And again, you can go watch it May 24th through 31st right downtown at the Lecom Harbor Center. So we'll do that here in just a moment. We'll get them on the line. We'll ask them a few questions about it, and that will that'll be a good conversation to have about another really cool event coming to downtown. And it's going to be at Lecom Harbor Center. And we know that right next door to there is KeyBank Center. And then there's a report that says the county will be walking away from the lease in October. And I know Jeremy and Joe were talking about this. And you kind of think about that and whether or not the Sabres themselves and the Pegulas would take over and own it, which is a possibility. Or if it will be just the city of Buffalo, which is actually what the release is going to transfer to anyway, once the county walks away from it. And then you put that together with what Bills and Sabres COO Pete Guelli told me at the owners meetings about a week ago, which is basically, hey, downtown, we want it to be a destination, the KeyBank Center. We want KeyBank Center to be a destination for not only hockey, but college basketball and a lot of other events, and believes that building up that surrounding area will really help with that. So I'm very curious, as this story goes forward, where all that lies. So we'll do that. We'll talk about that, you know, as the kind of timeline unfolds here when it comes to the lease and the report that's out there. And Jeremy and Joe talked a little bit about it this morning. In the meantime, like I said, a couple of Paralympic sled hockey team members going to join me here in a moment. TJ Reeves at the bottom of the hour at 10:30 a.m. on the Final Four. 803-0550. Good to be with you today. I'll explain a little bit later why I wasn't here yesterday and kind of talk about something I've never done in my life until yesterday. So we'll do that today as well. I want to get into Ovi. Alex Ovechkin scores the goal. I have not been on the air since it actually happened. We talked a lot about it leading up. I tweeted something about it last week, and a lot of people took the tweet wrong, and I had to kind of tell them what I was kind of referencing and meant by it. And people got really defensive about something they shouldn't be defensive about, and it kind of, you ever been in those positions where you really believe in something, but then so many other people, I almost wound up going the other way. I wanted to push back on something I believe in just to tell people, back off a little bit. You're not understanding. So that happened a little bit. And we'll do all that today here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Good to be with you. And by the way, we are less than, well, how many? When is the draft? April 24th, right? So it is Tuesday, April 8th today. We are less than 3 weeks away. We are a little over 2 weeks away from the first round of the NFL draft, Thursday night, April 24th. Is the night of the first round of the NFL draft. So we'll do that. get into it a little bit more as we go on here. We have profiles for you from Howard Simon, Joe Marino. They've been writing at WGR550.com. You can check out some of their draft profiles. Joe Marino from Locked On Bills, and of course Howard Simon here, who's enjoying his Mets, by the way, in a nice run. Yankees aren't on a very good run. The Yankees are in Detroit today. Did you watch baseball yesterday? I did. Yankees played at 3:10. I turned down the game. It's snowing. Still snowing. I mean, it's snowing here a little bit in Buffalo. Can we just get past the snow, get to the spring, get to the warm weather? Can we do that? It'd be nice. I'll be out heading out of town here at the end of this week and into next week. I've been looking at the weather. By the time I get back, then we'll have some good weather, it looks like. At least, you know, average, I guess, near 60 degrees. All right. We're going to jump on the Westher hotline right now. We have a couple of U.S. National Sled Hockey Team members who are going to be joining me, and I'll get you their names right now. Once again, I don't want to get them wrong. I want to describe and tell you who they are, because we're going to have a conversation about what's happening at the end of May. Jack Wallace and Kevin McKee, both on the Westher hotline. They join me right now. They are members of the U.S. National Sled Team, and of course, the Para Hockey Ice Hockey Championships coming to Buffalo May 24th through 31st. So Jack and Kevin, Sal Capaccio here. Thanks for doing this today.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, you got it. Jack, let me start with you a little bit. Can you kind of give us your background a little bit on you playing for the Paralympic team here in Buffalo?
Yeah, I started playing hockey since I was like 3 years old, and got hurt when I was 10, transitioned to sled hockey. And the goal has always been to be on the U.S. team, playing for my country. And I actually got my start on the U.S. national team just at the Northtown Center. It's where we used to have tryouts. So Buffalo's definitely got a special place.
No doubt about it. Tell us a little bit about what other tournaments you've played in your career.
Yeah, so I've been to two different Paralympic Games, a bunch of World Championships, a couple World Cups, and throughout my career, the team's been really successful. So looking forward to keeping it going.
And then, Kevin, how about you? Davenport, Iowa native, it says right here. Tell us a little bit about yourself and playing on the U.S. national team.
Yeah, so I started playing sled hockey when I was about 10 years old. My sister was a figure skater, so they had a local tri-sled hockey event, so I tried it out. Fell in love with it right away, and then kind of just over the last, the next couple, 3-4 years, I got noticed by the USA development team and went to a camp and then found out all about the Paralympics, learned about all that, and it was a goal of mine to make that team, so I tried out 3 years, and then in 2011 I made it, and been fortunate enough to be still on the team now.
What do you remember about 2015 here in Buffalo?
I remember the flags going like crazy. I remember the first game coming out, and everyone was cheering, and they had the little flags just waving everywhere, and it was packed.
Also a wheelchair lacrosse player, a real estate investor, served as an assistant coach at the USA Hockey National Sled Development Camp. Pretty impressive and extensive resume. Tell us about the wheelchair lacrosse that you play in.
Yeah, so I started playing wheelchair lacrosse about 6 years ago. It was just a sport that, you know, I was able to do in the summer, and it was a lot like hockey and a lot like wheelchair basketball that I played too. So, it was nothing I knew about the sport. Like, I didn't know anything about the game, how you played or anything, but they did another event in Chicago to try it out. And, I kind of picked it up pretty quick because it was a lot like hockey, how you played. And then I loved how physical it was, of course. It was like you just beat someone with that stick. So, it's been a blast. And we had a tournament here in Buffalo, I think it was 2 years ago, and at the Riverworks, and it was another great atmosphere there too.
And Jack, I'm reading here that you are also a competitive para-canoe rower. Amazing. What is that?
Yeah, so it's another Olympic, Paralympic sport. It's basically just sprint kayaking. So imagine rowing, but you're facing the right way. And so I was trying to qualify for Paris and came up just short. But was in the top 15 in the world for a couple of years. So hopefully get back at it after Milan and look to qualify for LA. But right now the focus is definitely on Milan and Buffalo in a couple weeks here.
So a lot of us watched the Four Nations, obviously, and it was Canada against the U.S., a couple of different battles, including the championship game there. Is there the same rivalry between the U.S. and Canada, Jack, when it comes to Paralympics and sled hockey?
Oh, yeah, trust me. maybe even a little more so, especially on the sled side and even the women's side. In the past decade, it's pretty much only been U.S. and Canada in every gold medal game ever. So, yeah, the rivalry is there, and recently our games have been as tight as they've been in a long time. You know, it's kind of been a coin flip recently of who's going to win these games, and Canada's developed a really good team and come out to play us really tough in the last few years. So the rivalry is definitely back, and it'll make for a good show.
And Kevin, for this to be growing to where it has, you've seen it kind of unfold and grow to this type of not only sport, obviously, but kind of like I don't know how I want to say it. Like, it's to the forefront, right? It's really grown in a way that people are watching it, they're paying attention. What does it mean to the Paralympic community to see that happen?
Yeah, I think it's great for the Paralympic sports in general, just how they're growing. I mean, every year I feel like this sport just gets faster and faster, and over the past probably 8 years, I mean, you've really had to, like, learn the game and understand hockey and get, you know, have hockey sense. It just has really grown, and I think it's great. I personally think this is the best winter sport, Paralympic sport out there, so, and everyone loves it because of how physical it is and the speed of it.
And one of the greatest Paralympic hockey players ever is from right here in Buffalo, Adam Page, who I'm sure that you guys know about. Tell us a little about Adam and what he's meant, Jack, to the program.
Yeah, I got to I made the team back in 2016, 2017, so I got to play with him quite a bit on that lead up to the 2018 games. He was on my line for a while, and yeah, I mean, he was definitely one hell of a goal scorer. He had an absolute cannon for a shot. He was someone in practice that you never wanted to get in front of when he was letting that thing fly. So yeah, definitely a Buffalo legend.
And he was just inducted a couple years ago into the Greater Buffalo Sports Hall of Fame. All right, this is going to be May 24th through 31st. Tickets are as low as $10, going to be at the Harbor Center. What do you got here, guys? USA, Canada, China, Korea, Germany, Czechia, Slovakia, Norway. Pretty good group, huh, Kevin? I mean, a lot of countries that are representing here.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a really good tournament. I think, these other countries that are coming in, they're really, everyone's fighting to get seeded for the Paralympics and try to make it. Top six are guaranteed to get in. So it's going to be an intense tournament, and hopefully a lot of people come out and watch.
No doubt about it. And obviously, we can go to Lecom Harbor Center, their website. They can look into getting tickets for that as well. What are you guys doing while you're in Buffalo and promoting the event? What do you got going on?
Today, we're actually at the Key Bank Center. We're going to hang out here for the day and go to the Sabres game tonight.
Nice.
Yeah, looking forward to it. It's going to be a fun day.
Yeah, cool. Have you guys, I don't know, have you been to Sabres games before? Have you been to the arena for a Sabres game?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I went to one in 15.
I got you. Well, yep. Tonight they take on the Carolina Hurricanes. Obviously, the season's not going where they want it, but you guys, they're playing very well right now, obviously. So if people are going to the game, I'm sure that they might be able to see you guys, and maybe they'll get recognized or something like that, and that'll be pretty cool for you to hang out with the fans as well. So enjoy that tonight.
Thank you. Looking forward to it.
You got it. You got it, guys. Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot for joining me today on WGR.
Yeah, thanks. Have a good one.
All right, you got it. Jack and Kevin, two members of the national sled hockey team, the Paralympic games, and they're the lead up here coming in May 24th through 31st, the ice hockey championships. So check it out if you want to go to get tickets, Lecom Harbor Center, the website right there. They're going to be at the Sabres game tonight. So if you're going to the Sabres game tonight, you might have a chance to interact. You might have a chance to meet them. But check it out. Tickets as low as $10 coming at the end of May. So very cool there. Glad we were able to do that today. They reached out to me and said, hey, we got this going on. And I said, absolutely. Let's talk about it. I think it's very cool for the Buffalo area to have something like this. 803-0550 is the number to call. Couple things I need to touch on here before we get to the bottom of the hour. TJ Reeves, Final Four, Final Game. What happened yesterday? Last week, you and I were talking, and you were like, what? And I was telling you about, Josh, the bucket that the visiting radio team, it was because Sam Rosen, and I said I met Sam Rosen in this bucket, right, the first time. And it would overhang the oranges at the old Odd between the oranges and blues. And I couldn't find a picture. Well, I happened to be downtown. My son was playing a hockey game at Harbor Center, so we go to the Tim Hortons right there. And sure enough, right on the wall, I'm like, wait a minute. That's a great shot of the Odd. And I look, there's the bucket. So I tweeted it out at Sal Sports. So if you go to my Twitter feed at Sal Sports, you will see a couple of the pictures of this, which is the visiting radio booth bucket hanging over the oranges and the blues that people had to climb into. Now that you see it, both the wide shot and the close shot, what do you think of this?
It's not as bad as what I was imagining. I was imagining it way higher, but I still would not want to sit there. That's just, no way. I don't do heights very well, so that would probably not be very good for me. But I would be pretty mad if I was a person in those seats, because I feel like those, like, six or maybe it's like eight seats actually, but regardless, like, you probably couldn't see all that much because of where the camera's positioned and where the bucket's sitting. Like, you'd see the other, like, both ends of the ice, but you wouldn't see, like, most of the middle.
So if you want to get connected with me, it is always getting connected with our fans, and it's brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com, and that's at Sal Sports. Pat tweeted, and thank you, Pat, said, I had to climb down into that bucket several times when I interned with the Stallions, that's a Buffalo soccer team, working game nights for the Sabres. He said, I thought Fred Cusack with the Bruins broadcast crew was going to have a panic attack at one point. He said, though, it wasn't visiting radio, it was usually visiting TV. But thank you for the clarification. You see the cameras right there. How about our own Howard Simon? He said, I sat there once when I filled in as a color person for an Islanders game. What? What story is this that I never heard from Howard?
That's awesome.
Go check it out. I put the picture up. There's two pictures. You can see the wide angle. This is something we talked about last week. And then I have the close-up of the bucket and where people sat. It's unbelievable. Pretty crazy. So yesterday I was off. And I wasn't planning on being off, but unfortunately, my best friend's mom passed away last week. So yesterday was the funeral. And it was a great service. Really, you know, honored her very well. And he did a great job giving a eulogy. I am 52 years old. Yesterday, Josh, was the first time I was ever a pallbearer. Have you ever been a pallbearer?
No. No, I have not. That's
so it's interesting. I've talked to people about my age who have said, I've never been one. I've talked to people your age who said, oh, I've done it multiple times. Like, I don't, you know, there's no rhyme or reason. It's obviously you get asked, whether it's family or friends. This happened to be the mother of my best friend and said, hey, my mom would be honored if you were a pallbearer. And I had never done this before. And I'm just saying, it's kind of interesting to think about that in life, how, you know, you go through. I've been to many funerals. I've been to funerals for family, been to funerals for friends, been to funerals for family members of friends and friends of family members. And yesterday was the first time I'd ever been. And obviously it's an honor to do something like that in a really unfortunate circumstance. But yesterday was the first time. So my father died when I was 19 years old. I was not a pallbearer for his funeral. So I asked my brother, who was 22 at the time, hey, were you a pallbearer for dad's? He said, no, I wasn't. And I guess there's no like protocol. I'm not really sure. And I apologize for like not knowing if there is, but I think it just depends on, you know, at that moment, I can't imagine even being that for my dad at 19. Like, it would have been a really heavy situation, right? So I guess it just kind of all depends on, you know, what your circumstance is. But I thought that was kind of, you know, interesting. And, you know, I had to ask. I didn't want to do anything wrong. Where do I be? When do I be there? What do we do? You just listen. They'll tell you where to meet. They'll explain to you how to do it. So yesterday was the first time. It was also the first time in many years I'd been in a procession driving for a funeral, and I hadn't done that. And I didn't know, like, what happens when you get to a red light. I'm thinking of all these things, because like 20 cars long, you know what I mean? There's about a 20-minute ride as well. So that was just something that I'd never really experienced until yesterday, and just something I thought I'd maybe throw out there if people have those experiences or haven't had them, and you know, if you have any thoughts on that, because it was just very interesting to me. So, yeah, that was it was obviously not the circumstance, right, that you want to be a part of, but, you know, honored to be a part of it. It was a great ceremony, by the way. And my best friend, he actually spoke so eloquently about his mom. And I told him, he's an attorney. And I said, if this attorney thing never works out, you could go to do eulogies because you made people feel good inside, you know, the church at the time. So that was nice. All right. So we'll take a timeout. When we come back here, TJ Reeves, he is the sideline reporter for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but this time of year, he's a college basketball announcer. He is at the Final Four. He's in San Antonio. He was at the game last night. I got to ask him, first question, did Houston lose it or did Florida win it? We'll talk about that when we come back here with my buddy TJ Reeves on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North convenience stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps. Restrictions apply.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth-shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
National championship is in the balance. 13 seconds left. Florida leads it by two.
Uzan gonna go.
Uzan, give it up. Cryer, 6 seconds, 5 seconds, short.
He won, he can't touch it.
He can't, 1 second, and it's over. Florida is back on top of the college basketball world. Championship madness. It's a great day to be a Gator.
That is Ian Eagle on the call. CBS last night, the Florida Gators win their third national title in basketball. In the last 19 years, I believe they became the first school to win at least three national championships in both football and basketball. Pretty amazing feat. They come back from a 12-point deficit late in the game. Our guy TJ Reeves, you know him normally as the Buccaneers, Tampa Bay Buccaneers sideline reporter, but he's a big-time college basketball announcer, reporter, guru. He's in San Antonio. He was at the game last night, and he joins me on the West Her Hotline. What's up, buddy? How's San Antonio treating you?
Hey, good morning. It is always great to be with you on the mighty WGR. I did not go to the University of Florida. I do live in the state. Some think I live in the state of confusion, Sal, but I do live in the state of Florida. What a night. What a night that just ended a few hours ago after they won that game. They had a boat parade, which we'll get into in a little bit, in downtown San Antonio on the Riverwalk. So we'll talk about that. But this thing never fails to deliver, the NCAA tournament. It's the best. We all know that football is king. We know the Super Bowl is king. The NFL is king. But this is the best event in sports, Sal, and what a weekend with the drama. I know it wasn't the best played, best shooting percentage championship game, but my God, was there drama in that building. as it came down to the final seconds, Houston having never won a national title, so rigidly close to San Antonio. Sal, they easily had 40, 45,000 fans in that building last night, and Florida took it from them. That's the bottom line.
All right, so that's my question. Did Florida win it or did Houston lose it?
Both. I think it's both. You got to credit Florida and Walter Clayton for finally coming alive. I mean, you're talking about one of the best players in college basketball who had scored 30 in each of the last two games in the Elite Eight and the Final Four, and he's got no points at the half. He doesn't have a field goal in the game, a made shot from the floor with 8 minutes left in the game. But then he came alive. He scored 9 points on two and ones and a three-pointer, came alive, and you could see the Gators fed off of that to an extent, and you saw Houston play tight. The same thing that happened to Duke on Saturday night where they couldn't finish it, played tight, screwed it up, turned it over, opened the door, and let Houston beat them. Same thing happened to Houston last night. Played tight, couldn't score, turnovers at the end, and Florida, again, deserves all of the credit for kicking that door in and winning the national championship last night.
So the way I described it earlier is, I think that Houston kind of lost the final several minutes, but I think Florida won the final possession. I think their defense was just simply better than Houston's offense in that final possession. What do you think?
Yes. And what you saw was that Florida obviously was ready for them, ready on double teams and switches, and Todd Golden did a tremendous job. I mean, there's only so much you can do as a coach to prepare your team, send them out there, go over it, show it to them. They got to go execute it, but they were ready. And Houston really didn't have the second big offensive weapon last night besides L.J. Cryer, their veteran guard who had transferred from Baylor, won a national championship with Baylor in 2021. And it hurt them. It hurt them at the end of this game. But again, that's credit to Florida. The SEC was tough. I know, especially up in Western New York, you guys get sick of hearing about SEC this, SEC that. But it is tough to argue with how tremendous that conference was out of conference in November and December. And then they get seven in the Sweet 16. They get four of them in the Elite Eight. They get two of them in the Final Four, and they get the national champion. Florida was just on a roll at the end of the year, and it continued here in San Antonio. What a story. What a story. What
did you think of the other two games on Saturday night as well? As you said, it was a great weekend.
Incredible. I mean, I have had the privilege. This was my 22nd one of these.
Wow.
I'm getting that old. I
love it.
Yeah,
I love
this
it.
This is my 22nd one of these. I cannot say that I have ever been at one with three more dramatic games with four elite teams in this. These were clearly the four best teams in college basketball. Are you kidding me? I mean, Auburn won 20 games this year against quad one opponents. 20. Most years you're good to win 7 or 8. They won 20. Houston won 22 of their final 23 games, sweeping the Big Ten regular season, sweeping the Big 12 regular season and Big 12 tournament, down all the way to the championship game. Duke was devastating all year long, lost one ACC game, killed Illinois back in February at Madison Square Garden, had beaten Auburn at home, had beaten Arizona at Arizona, got all the way to the Final Four, and Houston got them. And then how do you go against what Florida did down the stretch of the season in that conference, winning the SEC tournament and now winning the NCAA tournament? This was a great Final Four, a great product. I don't know that it's going to be this way for the foreseeable future, that it's all the dominant teams, but it was for this year in San Antonio. You want to hear more about the boat parade? What's up?
Let's do it. Tell me all about it.
Okay, so I get done at the Alamo Dome with work duties, with Tune In and the postgame show that we did, put that up, put it to bed, get back to the hotel, and I got people texting me, "Are you coming to the boat parade?" I'm like, I'm not going to be in Gainesville in time. No, they mean the boat parade right now.
What time was this?
So this is about 1 Eastern midnight Central. So by the time I got out of my hotel and got to the Riverwalk, which winds all the way through downtown San Antonio, including by the Alamo, all of it, I'm now down there at about 12:30 a.m. Central Time. And, Sal, I'm not exaggerating. There were thousands and thousands and thousands of orange and blue-clad Florida Gator fans in the middle of the night lining the Riverwalk that winds all the way through. And the roars that were echoing through that Riverwalk as those boats slowly came through the river with the Gator players on the end of the boat holding up the championship trophy, it was wild. It was absolutely wild. At 1 a.m. local time, they had a boat parade. and they're playing the Gator fight song and doing the chomp and the whole thing, and the players spoke with a couple of wireless microphones to the crowd, and we're yelling out to the crowd, and it was crazy. It was legit. I was there. So that was a wild experience. That's the first one of those. I've not been to a boat parade in the middle of the night after a Final Four championship game. How about that?
Okay, but now you have experienced an NHL Stanley Cup championship parade. You've experienced a Super Bowl Lombardi parade in Tampa, both these. And now you've experienced the San Antonio Final Four Gator parade. Can you compare the three?
I think you just brought up a great point. I am now a boat parade veteran. And this was accidental. This was completely accidental. I thought that two of the people that were texting me literally were me. I said to both of them in text messages, I should show them to you. I should send them to you. You mean back in Gainesville? Like, what river are they going to be on? And then they're like, no, right now, downtown. Get over here on the Riverwalk. And it was something to behold to kind of cap off the college basketball season. But, yeah, a lot of fun to be involved in this event. And again, there's a lot of uncertainty on whether the little guy is going to get stamped out by NIL and the transfer portal. I don't preach so much doom and gloom after 1 year. Show me that this is a problem in 2027 and still a problem in 2028, and then we'll talk. But for right now, the powerhouse teams were the powerhouse teams at the end of this year.
Hey, Houston to San Antonio is roughly what it is from Syracuse to Buffalo. I imagine if the championship was in Buffalo, how many Syracuse fans would be there if they were in it? What was the crowd like as far as, you know, dividing up? Was it really pro-Houston or no?
Easily. 40,000, 45,000, something like that. I mean, it's 3 hours away, and they had the arena last night. I mean, when they came on the floor, deafening. When they were making three-point shots there in the first half and had the lead, you're like, this is going to happen. They got Akeem Olajuwon in the house, for God's sake, Sal. Yeah. It's like the magic was all there until it wasn't, until Florida. And again, it's worth saying, Florida took it from them. They had to make shots, they had to make plays, and they took it from them. Just a fantastic night all the way around. But yeah, I don't know how well it translated on TV, but it was easily 60-40 Houston, and it might have been closer to 70-30 just because of the proximity, all the red all the way around the Alamo Dome. But Gators didn't care. Gators don't care. Gators got the trophy. They got the hardware. They got a national championship. What a great stat from you that is three college football national titles and three college basketball men's national titles. That's something to be impressed by.
Yeah, first school to ever do it. Before I let you go, what's the outlook for these teams' futures, even with all the uncertainty? And can we even predict what their futures are because of the uncertainty?
I think the second point is the point. We can't predict it with the uncertainty because Houston loses several of the guys to graduation and or the transfer portal coming up. It's going to happen. Florida, the same thing. I mean, they're going to lose probably three or four pieces off of this team. A couple of guys are out of eligibility. A couple of guys are going to go somewhere else, probably in the transfer portal, or maybe try to go to the NBA. So there's a lot of uncertainty right now on a lot of these prominent teams. I mean, that whole Duke team is going to be part of the NBA draft, like four of them. So we'll see what the next few weeks bring with the transfer portal and the NBA draft. But for right now, on the Tuesday morning after that, that was amazing. An amazing weekend of college hoops, and it just renews again why March, this month, and this event is so special. No doubt, Mr. Sal.
You got a chance to watch Cooper Flagg up close. Is he the best player in college basketball? Is he the number one pick in the NBA?
The word I keep using is ridiculous. Not unlike Sal Capaccio and everything he does. You're ridiculous. He is ridiculous. I mean, to be 18 years and barely 3 months old and to be able to handle the ball as a big guy with his left hand and go left and dunk on people and watch him step back and bury threes and watch him play defense, and I mean buckle down and play defense and go block shots, how scary is this guy going to be a year from now? How scary is this guy going to be at 22 years old?
In like the NBA, though. A year from now in the NBA, right? Sure. He's going to be the number one pick, right? He has to be.
Sure. He has to be, but you look at the potential, at the ceiling. The ceiling is amazing on what he can be. Is he going to stay healthy? That's an unknown, but it is scary how talented he is, and he's not even supposed to be in college. He graduated a year early. He went on the fast track to get done a year early to get to Duke a year early. His twin brother is a senior this year in high school in Maine, and they won the state championship. it's scary what his potential can be. And it was a lot of fun. But again, you're not guaranteed anything. They didn't even get to the title game, Sal. As you know, Houston took them down.
What's today for you? What's today look like?
All right, so we got a few more radio interviews, and then I am on the plane back to Tampa, and I get to decompress for a couple of days. And then we start looking at that, that NFL draft thing coming up and how that all works for the Buccaneers and the Bills and the rest of the NFL.
So before that, we're going to be maybe I'm hoping to see you. I'll be in Tampa this coming weekend. Sabres at Lightning, by the way. Nice win for the Sabres over the Lightning, even though Lightning are, of course, getting to the playoffs this year. Sabres aren't, but Sabres Lightning on Sunday night. Well, I'll be there. We'll be there.
So get down. I'm getting to Tampa. Get down to Tampa. Food on me because you are the best. and then we got Stanley Cup playoffs coming for the Lightning, who drop kicked the Rangers last night. I just saw that score a few minutes ago. So we got the hockey going on. Maybe another boat parade in the offing for the Lightning. I get all these invites to boat parades. Maybe I got another one coming up for the Lightning for the Stanley Cup and hockey. Who knows? Long way to go on that. But I look forward to seeing you, the wife, Max. We got to make that happen this weekend. Let's do it in Tampa Bay. Let's rendezvous in Tampa Bay. You from Western New York, me from the Alamo. I will not go by boat like the boat parade. I'll be flying back to Tampa, but I will be there, and I look forward to seeing you.
All right, I promise you this as I let you go. If the Buffalo Sabres ever win a Stanley Cup or the Buffalo Bills ever win a Super Bowl, we will have a Lake Erie boat parade, and you're going to be invited, okay? So you can experience another
one. Bring me there. All right? I am the king of the boat parade on a Tuesday morning, and I want to be there for all of that. Be well. You are phenomenal. You know why I'm telling you phenomenal. Thurman Thomas is the code, kids, on WGR. Sal will explain it at some point. But wow, I mean, this was quite the experience in San Antonio, and I look forward to being with you this weekend. Behave.
You got it, buddy. Thanks a lot. Be well. Enjoy the rest of your day and safe travels back home. You got it. TJ Reeves right there. Yeah, TuneIn Radio app is where he's called games. He was part of the broadcast last night, post-game show. Obviously, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers sideline reporter, all-around great guy, and he's become a friend over the years. I don't know if I've ever told the story, but I will real quickly. When I lived in Florida, I was living in a small town on the West Coast, and I would listen to Tampa radio. This is 90s, late 90s. And there was a guy I was listening to. His name was TJ Reeves. He's on Tampa radio. I'm like, all right. And I would listen to him once in a while, much like people are listening to this show. And, liked him. I thought he had, good insight and takes and all that kind of stuff. And then never met him or anything. And then years later, I got the job here at WGR. And the Bills were maybe playing the Bucks one year. It's 2012, maybe. Go back to then. I don't remember exactly when. But either way, maybe they weren't even playing, but something was going on. I'm like, I need a Tampa Bay guest. I'm like, oh, this guy, TJ Reeves, I used to listen to him. So I reached out. I'm like, hey, I used to listen to you down there. Now I'm in Buffalo. He's like, oh, my God, that's great. Let's do it. And we've become very good friends for over a decade now. So when the Buccaneers play the Bills and he comes up, I take him. And last year, 2 years ago it was, that Thursday night game, not only TJ, but legendary play-by-play man of the Buccaneers and the Florida State Seminoles, Gene Dekaroff, took him out for Buffalo Wings. They loved it. We had a great time. And then whenever me and the fam and we go down to Florida, we're in the Tampa area, we always hook up, TJ and his family. And he has twin girls who are graduating high school. So, life comes at you really, really fast. We'll take a timeout. Anyway, thanks a lot to TJ Reeves. Good interview right there. You can always catch it on demand at WGR550.com. When we come back, I need to touch on Ovi. We'll do that here or maybe in the next segment, 11. I want to give it a little more space. But we also have open phone lines. And Matt Bove and I, on It's Always Game Day in Buffalo, we had some real fun on our last podcast, and we're going to have even more fun coming up on a podcast we're doing today. And I'll let you in a little secret on that. We come back on WGR. Join us in the fight against cancer by riding with Bulldog and WGR's Ride for Roswell team on Saturday, June 28th. Once you join our team, you're going to receive an email to pick up your team t-shirt and water bottle at Tom's Pro Bikes on Walden Avenue in Lancaster. Not a rider? You can still support the cause by donating to our team and helping us reach our goal. Visit WGR550.com for more details. I this will be my first year involved with the Ride for Roswell. I'm really looking forward to it. And I'll be one of the MCs kind of helping to kick things off. It'll be really, really cool. And I know Bulldog's been a rider. I'm not a bike rider per se. I've ridden bikes, but I know that's kind of what he does and what he's been doing for a while. So for him to be a part of this and spearheading this team is really cool. And I would really encourage anybody to go to WGR.550.com for more details on all of this. Yesterday, Matt Bove and I, Sunday night, we recorded a podcast. It's Always Game Day in Buffalo. If you haven't checked out It's Always Game Day in Buffalo, you should. It's wherever you pod, iTunes, Spotify, Odyssey app, and it's on YouTube. Our smiling faces are right there, at Sal Sports on YouTube. This particular one, you might want to go to YouTube to watch it because I put up on the screen some graphics, and we talked about it. You can listen, but you need to see it. And we debated, because of Alexander Ovechkin, I came up with some different Bills all-time franchise records and said, which are the most unbreakable? And I found some single-season records. I found some career records. I want to talk about those, yes, because I don't want to ruin the Always Game Day pod because Matt and I walked through it, but it's been 2 days. And another pod's coming out soon, so that one's going to be a little older anyway. Today, we are scheduled. I'm just going to put it out there. I usually don't tease this, and it's usually a surprise, and it happens, and bam, it's right in front of you. But today, it's a little different. Today, Josh, Matt Bove and I are scheduled to talk to Mike North, schedule man. Woo, baby! I am fired up! It's the Mike North pod today, baby! Yeah!
That time of year, it's like Christmas.
You know how I love this stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And everybody, it's the biggest podcast we do every year. I've been doing it even before Matt and I were together, and it's always game day. For the last 3 years, though, Matt and I have done it together. 2 years with Mike, I think. This will be the third year with him. We are recording with Mike North today about the schedule.
Are we going to get a look into who's going to Ireland?
I don't think he'll tell us, but we're going to ask him questions, and maybe we can get to who's going to Ireland.
See if he can give us a riddle that if we could try to figure it out.
I don't think he even knows. He might. Well, oh. Here's the question. Do you know, right? We're going to ask him, do you know? Or are you waiting for the draft? Are you waiting for Aaron Rodgers to sign? Because we think it could be Packers. But if it is Packers and you think about that, and Rodgers signs with the Steelers, are you really putting Rodgers against his former team at 9 a.m. on a Sunday in Ireland? Probably not. Where does that leave the Bills? We will ask him that. So here's my question to all of you as we take a timeout and get to the 11 o'clock hour. What do you want me to ask Mike North? I cannot promise I will ask all of your questions. I cannot promise we will get to them, but I will at least see them. And if we can, there's a couple that already came our way through the podcast. If you have a question that you'd like Matt Bove and I to ask Mike North, one of the lead NFL schedule makers, don't ask where are the Bills playing when. That's not the kind of thing. About the process of the schedule, something that comes up you've always wondered about certain games and times and locations and however they do it, teams, tweet me at SalesSports. And I will look at those and I will throw a couple of your questions towards Mike North when we record the Always Game Day in Buffalo podcast with him later today. I can't wait for this. Also can't wait to talk about Ovi. Alexander Ovechkin breaks the record. All right. We got Ovechkin. We got Gretzky. We got this big debate going on. We got to stop all this. But I got to touch on what happened over the weekend when I tweeted about it. And a lot of you took it wrong. When we come back here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Neutralized 13 of the last 14 shorthanded situations against them. Strome crisscrossing with Chychrun through center. Send in Wilson on the flank. Cross ice, Ovechkin fires. Score! Chasing days are done! Alex Ovechkin is the greatest goal scorer in the history of the NHL!
There it was over the weekend. Not a home game, but it sounded like a home game. Did you watch it live, Josh? Did you see it?
I did not see it live, but I did turn on the ceremony after. I didn't know they were playing that early in the day. I was making my lunch, and my friends are all blowing up my phone like, he did it! And I was like, what are you talking about? They don't play until later. And so I missed it live. Unfortunately.
Yeah, we were also unable to see it live. Had an event and saw somebody texted me, Ovi, and I'm like, oh, he did it. So I had to go look, watch the goal. Missed it live. Went back and watched it. It is, I have to say, it's the perfect goal. It really is. Now, it's not a one-time slap shot, but it's the perfect goal for Alexander Ovechkin to break the record, isn't it?
Yeah, he's basically in his office.
Oh, my God, yeah.
He slings it from the point, and it was just, all of it was great. And the celebration was awesome, too. You know, him just belly flopping onto the ice, it was awesome.
Celebration.
The ceremony was a little long. Like
yeah,
20
and this
minutes.
Was and they had done a really kind of longer ceremony when he tied the record too at home.
Yeah.
And I get, like, you tie it, you're at home, you don't know if he's gonna break it at home or on the road, you have this ceremony, and then he breaks it and you have another ceremony. But look, it's one of the most cherished records in all of sports. It's over 3 decades old, right? So I mean, I understand the gravity of it, so that's fine. Yes, I think in the moment you might think it's like, okay, this is dragging on, but you get why they did it. I think it's awesome that the Islanders fans, I thought about that, like, what if it happened here? Like Gretzky's goal. If you go back and watch Gretzky break the record here, the single season record, there's a lot of cheering going on in the stands. Those are Sabres fans, a lot of them. Yeah, there's Oilers fans, but a lot of Sabres fans. If that goal happens in Buffalo, aren't you cheering? I mean, how
yeah,
do you not?
I think so.
You're cheering for greatness. You're not cheering against your team.
Right.
You're not hoping he scores necessarily. Maybe you are because you want to see it, but not actively rooting for, I hope they come over here and win. This isn't, we had that debate 9 years ago with the tank, okay? 10 years ago, whatever it is
they,
now.
They didn't even win the game. They ended up losing the game.
But I do think if that happens if that happens here at KeyBank Center, you're giving, it's amazing. You're standing up, you're cheering. You can do that. It's all good. Anyway, I was thinking about his record-breaking goal, and I know it's not a record-breaker. It was, like, to me, like Jeter's 3,000th hit. Do you know what happened on his 3,000th hit? He hit a home run. Jeter's 3,000th hit, he hit a home run. And it was, like, the perfect ending, like, storyline. And that he's not a home run hitter, but it was like, oh, my God, right? Like, unbelievable.
Right, like, of course, that's how it goes.
Right, for the guy like that, right?
Yeah, right.
So I think there's times where, and I think someone else did. Who else had a 3,000th hit? Was it A-Rod's 3,000? Maybe, could have been Wade Boggs even if I think about it. I don't know. But somebody did also. Now, again, obviously different circumstances. It wasn't a record breaker. But if you could have draw up the perfect goal, I think you draw up Ovechkin from the left faceoff circle. On the power play. And it was a power play, right? I don't remember for sure from Saturday. It was a great wrist shot, by the way. And I think that everything they kind of did, though, and all the ways they touched on it were right. You know, for Gretzky to be there, to follow him around until he does it, like Esposito did when he broke his record here in Buffalo, I think, I don't remember if Gordie Howe was there in L.A. when he broke it.
Gordie Howe was.
He was, right?
Yep.
He was, yeah, thank you. You need that to happen. Just like the Maris family, because Roger Maris is not alive anymore, but the Maris family was there when Aaron Judge broke his American League, you know, home run record. Home runs in a season, right? So, I mean, it was It was a cool moment to see that. What I find is, by the way, Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, Sal Capaccio with you. Welcome to a Tuesday. Thank you very much for joining me. If you missed the first hour, we had a couple of sled hockey participants. The Paralympic Ice Hockey Championships are coming to Buffalo at the end of May. Check out that interview. You can go online and get tickets as low as $10 at Harbor Center coming to at the end of May. It's going to be really cool. Check that out. We also had TJ Reeves from TuneIn Radio and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers sideline reporter who was at the Final Four at the game last night, the national championship. Great interview with him back at 10:30 a.m. Check it all out on demand at WGR550.com. You can also call me. You can tweet me at Sal Sports and 803-0550. That is getting connected with our fans. Brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at NorthtownKia.com. What is fascinating to me, and I've said this for the last couple of weeks, and it really turned out, Gretzky and Ovechkin. Well, now, obviously, Ovechkin now has one more goal. They played the exact same amount of games. I understand Wayne Gretzky broke the record in fewer games, and then he didn't score for a few. How wild is it that these guys, separated by one goal as the greatest of all time and all those goals, have played the exact same amount of regular season games, 1,487. That's incredible to me. It's an incredible stat. So this weekend, last Friday, whatever it was, I tweeted that. All I wrote was, Wayne Gretzky, 894 goals, 1486 games. Sorry, Ovechkin, 894, 1486 games. Wayne Gretzky, 894, 1487 games. And I wrote the word amazing. A lot of you, I got a lot of tweets from people going, well, now do assists. Can't compare the two. Ovechkin plays in a different era. Yes, I know. I wasn't comparing the two. I was simply pointing out the amazing stat that they played the same amount of games and had the same amount of goals. One different, right? I'm a Gretzky guy. Like, if you ask me, we know this. We've been on the show. We've talked about this. I'm not anti-Ovechkin, but I'm a Gretzky guy. I didn't want to see the record broken. It's a record that I remember watching Gretzky so near and dear to my heart as a hockey fan growing up and at that impressionable age. Like, I didn't want to see that. And to me, he's the greatest. Gretzky's the greatest. And yes, the assists are unbelievable. The points are unbelievable. I was not in any way implying anything about the two, but a lot of people took that as a comparison of the two. Well, now do assists. Well, how about Gretzky played in this era and Ovechkin played in that era? It was way easier to score for Gretzky. I'm not denying all of that. I just thought it was an amazing stat. But what wound up happening, because so many people were coming at me about it, I'm like, I almost wind up taking the side of defending Ovechkin more than Gretzky when I usually defend Gretzky, if that makes sense, right? Either way, I think it's an incredible stat. I saw it today. This happened today. Let me read you the stat that I saw today that someone tweeted. Because here now we live in this society where everything's got to be about who's the GOAT, who's better. Don't we do this with LeBron and Jordan way too much now? Right? Way too much. It's so different. You can't compare the eras, the players, the time periods are so different. It's fun, I guess, in a lot of ways, but man, it gets tiring. Because if we're going to do that, then what about Wilt Chamberlain, right? And Bill Russell. And, you know, you can't. Contemporaries are one thing, but when it's non-contemporaries, when it's people who played a long time ago, Ohtani and Babe Ruth, right? These two guys who pitch and hit home runs. But it's so different that the equipment Babe Ruth used was tree trunks, basically, right? I mean, so today, this happened here. Here it is. John, where does he do this from? He is a radio, TV, broadcasting personality. I don't know. John Linder's his name. I just happened to see this. Someone brought it to my attention. He wrote, Penguins Gretzky. Oh, no, sorry, not Penguins. He wrote hashtag Penguins. He must follow the Penguins. Oh, this is why, because it's a Lemieux tweet. Here's what he wrote. Sorry. Gretzky and Ovi averaged 0.6 goals a game in their careers. Mario Lemieux averaged 0.75 goals a game in his career. Gretzky and Ovechkin played 572 more games than Mario Lemieux. So he's pumping up Lemieux as he's better. He's the greater goal scorer. If Lemieux had played those extra games at his average, he'd have 429 more goals, giving him 1,119 goals, 224 ahead of both Gretzky and Lemieux. Great. It's great. Fine. Lemieux was great. There's no doubt about it. Part of being, like, to the level of what Gretzky and Ovechkin did is to keep playing until they are 40 years old and beyond for Gretzky, not even yet for Ovechkin. Ovechkin's not even 40 yet. For him to do this and still be scoring over 40 a year, Josh, he could play another 3 years. I think Marty Biron was talking about how he'd like to see him play 3 more years and get 1,000. He could do that.
He could get 900 this year.
Yes.
Very easily.
That's right. They still have several games left.
Yeah. He's only got 5 goals to go. And the pace he's scoring at, he could get to 50 again and get to 900 before he gets to 50.
So I'm not here to tell you that Lemieux wasn't a more gifted goal scorer all over. Maybe he wasn't. Lemieux played in a real dead puck era a lot of time, right?
I think the thing, too, with that stat you just brought up, how the guy figures out, like, oh, based on this average of whatever, he doesn't factor in the age. Like, Ovi right. has aged better because he's scored more since he's turned 35.
And unfortunately, Lemieux had cancer,
right.
non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, and it took a part of his career, and that's totally unfortunate. Gretzky and Ovechkin should not be penalized for playing longer. They should be celebrated for playing longer. It's the same argument I use, believe it or not, with Frank Gore. I get told all the time, Frank Gore's a compiler. And that's why, like, I don't know if he's a first ballot. Dude, he's like the third leading rusher ever in the history of the NFL. And to get to that point, you have to compile. You have to play long in a position that normally you don't play long. That should be celebrated. It should be honored.
Right.
It should not be penalized.
There comes a point in every player's career where they might, you know, not necessarily skip around, but they might move around teams. Look at the end of Gretzky's career, right? Like, he plays most of it in Edmonton and L.A., and then he goes to New York for a couple years, and he goes for St. Louis for, what, 1 year, and it's not even a real full season? Like, that's not necessarily, you know, a compiler or skipping around, but it's the early stages of that. He just did it much later in his career where he didn't have as much time to do it. And when you look at a guy like Ovechkin, I don't think he'll ever do that because he's played every game for the Capitals.
It is interesting. I wonder how it ends for Ovechkin, though. We've talked about this last week. Like, would he retire this year if they won the Cup, let's say?
I
don't know. He's playing at such a high level.
If they win the Cup, I think that's how he goes out.
What if they don't?
If they don't win the Cup, I think he keeps playing.
Probably right. So here's the other point of this stat, all right, that I want to point out. So again, I want to read this again. This person, just John Linder, and does radio, I guess, in South Florida. He's a Penguins guy and writes how Lemieux averaged 0.75 goals a game versus Gretzky and Ovi both averaging 0.6. That's great. Do you know what I want to point out? Mike Bossy averaged 0.76 goals a game. But he retired at 30 because he had back problems. It's just unfortunate that that happens, but that is professional sports. To have longevity is a great thing. And that's why when you talk about these guys and what they've done or what they haven't done, it should be celebrated, not penalizing them. Mike Bossy, to me, might be the greatest gifted goal scorer in the history of the NHL. 0.76 goals a game, he retired at 30. If he plays up until 39, he shatters the record. Shatters it at the time. And he was playing at the time period of Gretzky. They played each other in the Stanley Cup twice.
And he won both times, I think, right?
No.
No?
The Islanders beat the Oilers to win their fourth. The next year, okay. The Oilers beat the Islanders as the Islanders are going for their fifth.
Yeah, I didn't know where in the four in a row it was.
That's right. Yeah. But they played against each other. I mean, I just think it's such a silly argument sometimes. And this happens in all sports. We're going through this right now with LeBron.
Well, did you see yesterday the conversation between Stephen A. and PK Subban about which career achievement is better?
Okay, what is it? I did not.
It was basically a conversation of who had the better career, Ovechkin or LeBron. They made Ovechkin breaking the record about LeBron, which is just crazy to me. Like, I don't understand.
Interesting, like, right? Like, yeah. Like, come on, how are we comparing those two, right? It is amazing what Ovechkin has done in his career. It's amazing what he's still doing. I think it's one of the most impressive things I could ever see on a stat sheet is 42 goals next to his age, 39. He's 39. He'll be 40 in December, right? I think it's December. Let me check his birthday. September. Not until next season. Like, not even when this season ends at any point. Playoffs or whatever. 42 goals for Alex Ovechkin. It doesn't matter. I guess what's really happening here is, to me, I'm getting a little annoyed because this Gretzky-Ovechkin thing really brought it out. It started with LeBron and MJ, and I've been seeing that. And I've said, like, I'm a Lakers fan, but it's not like hardcore Lakers. Yeah, I'm, you know, dialed in every night. But I like the Lakers. I grew up watching them, and I like LeBron. LeBron came into the NBA the same year as Carmelo Anthony, right? He's in high school as a senior the year that Anthony and Syracuse win a national championship. So I watch that timeline, and, you know, I follow LeBron, and I love watching him. And now he plays for the team that I grew up rooting for, and I think he takes a lot of unjust criticism because he's amazing and great. Why do we have to do this? This is happening now with Gretzky and Ovechkin, and I'm a Gretzky guy. But I found myself defending Ovechkin a lot over the weekend because of how other Gretzky people are acting about it. Just can't we celebrate greatness, appreciate greatness, watch greatness for what it is? It's great. I've always said this. Now, there are athletes that I certainly don't like that are just like, that's number one hated athlete in Buffalo sports, and you grew up watching, like Brian Cox, right, is on that list. I can't think of an athlete I hate because of his or her greatness. Great is great. You might hate them because they held you back from something. That's why I hate athletes. Hate, right? Quote, unquote. You hate athletes because they held your favorite team or your favorite athlete back from something achieving. You shouldn't hate them for being great.
Yeah, it's appreciating greatness. Like, it's
now, unless they're total jerk, right? Well, you say, I just can't stand that person. I get that.
I mean, that's like when Red Sox fans were like, hey, good career, Jeter. Like, you know, like,
yeah,
people could like bridge that gap.
I hated facing Big Poppy, but I love him.
Right.
Love Big Poppy.
He's a great character. He's a great guy. He's funny. Like, but in the game, it's a different vibe. Like, it's same thing with Ovechkin, right? Like, I don't like Ovechkin because he has beaten the Sabres before and, you know, he's gone on and won a cup and everything like that. But I respect him. I respect what he's done for the game and you know, in terms of breaking all these records and things like that. Like, that's where you look at, like, all these things where you have problems with athletes. It's never a personal problem. It's just the fact that they beat your team. You're
right.
You're salty about it. Like the entirety of the 06 Hurricanes. I don't like any of them. Like,
but,
because of what they did to the Sabres.
But I think what's happening with LeBron especially, and now what's starting to happen with Ovechkin too, with some people, what I've noticed with this tweet and how this has gone, this is really more LeBron, but it is also Ovechkin. There is that. There's just the, you can't appreciate the greatness because you just hate them so much. You want to tell everybody how they're just not as good as everybody else says they are.
Right. Because
and I just don't get that. Well, I don't get it.
I think with some, like specifically with LeBron, is they get shoved in your face every single day. And it's like, okay, enough. Like, I get it. They're great. I understand that. But then I don't need to hear about it every single day. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like that's, would it have been that way if there was this kind of social media back in the day with Gretzky and Jordan and anybody else that was considered one of the greats back in like the 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s? Right, like I feel like the fact that
we have
all of this—well,
it's the hot take machine. It's social media, right?
Right.
It's all the shows, the debate shows, and that's what's getting all the views and clicks, and that's why we're doing all this. There's no doubt. Here's a good life tip to help everybody. Okay, I'm gonna give you a good Sal's life tips. We do a segment on this show just called Sal's Life Tips. I want to help you out a little bit. All right, Josh, I'm sure you've sat like on the glass for a hockey game, right? Really low.
Actually, I've never been on the glass, but
pretty
I have
darn
sat
low.
Like. Fourth or fifth row.
Okay. Same thing.
Yeah.
You ever sat like right on the floor for like a college basketball game or NBA game, like near the floor, the few rows back maybe,
mm-mm.
Whatever. Okay.
I've never actually been to a basketball game.
Oh, NBA, college? Never
nope.
been to a college game?
Nope.
You got to go, man. I don't care.
I don't know.
We got to get Josh to a college basketball game. By the way, at 11:30, I'm going to talk about my experience this past weekend over at UB. We went to the women's NIT. I need to talk about them a little bit. It was amazing. What a great atmosphere. Want to talk about that. And we were right there. Me and my wife and son sat in the first row behind the basket.
I just remembered I went to probably one of the last sporting events in New York City right before COVID. I went to a Knicks game.
Oh, you did go to a basketball
game. Yeah,
you got it.
Forgot about it because everything
right.
happened right
yes,
after that
yes.
with COVID. But yeah, I did.
Here,
I have been to a Knicks game.
Here's the point I'm making. It doesn't have to be sports. It could be anything. It could be music. It could be theater. Go watch people do something that they are way more talented than you. And get an appreciation for how talented and unbelievable they are at it. And when I say that, here's why I ask you about the glass. Go to a hockey game, sit near the glass, watch how incredible those athletes are and how fast they can skate and shoot and do all the things they can do. Every time I go to a basketball game, a college basketball game, I've been to many in my life, only been to a couple NBA games, but I've been to college basketball games. And I will tell you, Josh, when you sit down on the floor, near the floor, and you see how unbelievably big and strong and fast and talented they are, it blows your mind. I'll tell you where this really happens for me. Do this if you ever get a chance. Go to a big track meet. Stand near where they're coming around the turn on the 200. You have all these great athletes, men, women, doesn't matter. They're incredible. They're big, they're strong. Yeah, some are smaller or whatever, but I'm telling you, go to a track meet, stand on the corner about the 100-meter mark of a 200-meter dash, it's going to blow your mind. You're like, how are these human beings running this fast? It's something that I think I'm still at my age. I think I'm a pretty good athlete. I was a very good athlete growing up. I was pretty fast. Nothing like that. Like, it's incredible to see people who are just so amazing at what they do. Go to a theater. Watch a show. Go really see how talented people are that are so much more than you. Music. I love music. I'm a drummer. I think I'm a talented drummer. When I go watch guitar players, I can't play the guitar. I'm blown away. How do they do that? I'm not sure. I can't do that. Right? I just think it's a good life tip to appreciate and to see how great people are at their talents. And I think once you do that, I think then you get to a better space of appreciating great athletes that maybe you didn't be for whatever reason. Ovechkin, LeBron, that's amazing what they can do. It really is.
I think another thing too that like you talking about, you know, the athletes running around for the track meets, like I think of the speed skating challenges at the NHL All-Star Game or the speed skaters in the Olympics. Like watching that is something I've always been interested in too, is just seeing how fast these guys can get going on their skates.
Oh yeah, skating.
I think that's where like these All-Star games, not necessarily just the NHL, but all of them have kind of got watered down so much that you took away the actual showcasing of talent.
Yes.
Like, obviously, you know, there's, you bring in all the injuries and stuff, but when you do the skills challenges at these All-Star events, that's where you can really showcase things like the speed, the hands, the jumps, and everything like that, like in basketball, hockey, football, anything. Like, those are the things that I used to love as a kid when the All-Star games were really All-Star games. And now they're so different where they don't really showcase talent anymore. It's just for, you know, social media and clips and all that stuff.
It's one of the reasons I love being on the sidelines for the Bills, in the Bills games. It really is. Like, people say, yeah, you want to be up in the broadcast booth. And yeah, Chris does a great job. Eric does a great job. I love play-by-play color, being a part of that. But for me, like, where I am on the sidelines, to be a part of that and appreciate that and see that and understand it, it just gives you an amazing perspective that otherwise I would never normally have. And I think it keeps me doing my job, I think, hopefully, as efficiently, as effectively as I think I do it. Chris tweets in at Sal Sports, Chris Stapleton at Woodstock in the pouring rain. Not sure if you saw that, Chris. If you were there for it, maybe you were. That's great. You're right. Like, playing guitar. How about if you were, I mean, obviously, there's a element of theater and drama and visualization to something like Prince playing in the rain at the Super Bowl, right? No doubt. I'm just saying, go watch people do things that they're amazingly talented at. Get an appreciation for it. Something you can't do and you say, I can't do that. I'll give you my final one. This is the one I always mention. I'm a terrible artist. I can't draw anything. I draw stick figures. Like, if you, this kid, did you see last week, Dan Orlovsky had his son who has autism on NFL Live, and they put all the pictures. He's an artist. He draws. He's a preteen or teenage son, right? About the same age as my son, I believe. And they took all the drawings that he's made over the years and they put them on. It's so emotional watching it. And I'm like, that kid is amazing. I can't do any of that. He is amazing at what he's doing, right? Go watch people. Go respect and appreciate people who are amazingly talented at what they do. Something you can't do. Or you try to do, but you're not as good as them. I'm telling you, it will give you a better appreciation in life. There's your Sal's life tip of the day. We'll take a timeout. Hey, speaking of that, UB Women. Women's NIT. Went to the game over the weekend, Saturday. It was amazing. I want to tell you about that when we return on WGR.
Off the left iron.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And out. 4-point lead for Buffalo. Left wing. Jenkins can't get a shot up. Buffalo has won the 2025 postseason WNIT championship. Becky Burke, bring out the scissors. Buffalo is cutting down a net in April. The UB Bulls defeat Troy 88-84 in the championship game in front of a record crowd, sellout at Alumni Arena.
Jack Cruiser on the call. Good for Jack. Good to hear his voice. Got to know Jack when he was coming up. He still is. It's a great future ahead of him in this business. Although, you know, I can't hold it against him. He went to Cheektowaga High School. I went to Cleveland Hill. We're arch rivals, but that's okay. Still a great kid. No, great job there from Jack Cruiser on the call. The UB women's basketball team wins the WNIT. Yes, as Jack said right there, cutting down nets in April, right? I mean, think about that. There's three notable women's college basketball tournaments. The NCAA tournament is one of them. The NIT is another one. There's a third one as well, but it doesn't matter. Once you get to, you know, when you're put in a tournament with likewise teams, programs, teams that have done what you've done, you're in a postseason tournament, it means you've had a good year. And then you advance through that tournament to get where they were and to have an opportunity in front of their home fans to play, to win, to cut down the nets and ultimately do it is fantastic. And I will tell you, we were at the game. Me, Yana, and Max went to the game. And the way it works at UB women's game is basically it's general admission seating. You pay, you get a ticket. You can sit kind of wherever you want. We had an event earlier that day, actually. It was a long day. It's a great day. But I said, okay, let's hustle up. We got to get over there. We got there at about, tip-off was at 5. We got there, I think, at about 4:35. Walk into Alumni Arena. Stands were already packed. Now, talked with Mark Allnut, the AD over at UB, leading up to it, and he said they were hoping to break an attendance record. They already over 5,000. I don't know what the exact record was. They were right at about 5,000 tickets. So we get in there and it's packed. Not really any seats to be had. Didn't want to sit too high, but even if you did go higher, you know, it's Alumni Arena. It's not like, you know, you're at KeyBank, super high up there. But really, all the seats were filled out down low. But I looked behind each basket, plenty of seats kind of down low. So I said, let's go down there. It's a great experience for Max to be kind of on the floor. This goes to what we were talking about earlier, Josh. So we went and sat in the first row behind the basket. It was right there. And sure enough, though, I sit down, and the Troy mascot, who's big and bulky, dressed as a mascot, is like right in front of us dancing and doing his thing. And I'm like, I can't see anything now. I got the Troy mascot. He was really cool. He was dancing. He was with Victory Bowl and all that. But I'm like, we got to move down a little bit. So that happened. But the basket, the stanchion for the basket was also right there. Didn't matter. Had to kind of weave a little to the right or to the left to see some plays. Right on the floor, though, you see the athleticism. You see the toughness. The toughness just sticks out. Like, when they're under the basket there, and you're like, yeah, I don't want to get involved in that. Like, I don't want to be banged down under the basket like some of these ladies. It's crazy. Anyway, UB gets off to a decent start. And then Troy has a kind of a nice run. They weren't missing. I have to go back and look. I don't even have let me see the box score. What was their field goal percentage? I'm like, oh my God, they're shooting the lights out. Troy was. Let's see where they are here. See if I can find which one. 42%, 47%. I think maybe they came back and came down to earth a little bit because I have to see which one I'm looking at here, which side. But either way, Troy was like just not missing. And UB would answer. But it got to be a 12-point lead. And then it was 10 at halftime. And then you go into the fourth quarter and they're still down. Great comeback. It's about 3-4 minutes left. UB hits a three-pointer to take the lead, and I'm telling you, the roof almost came off the place. It was great. What a great atmosphere. So I tweeted some video of it, of the final couple of seconds. You heard Jack on the call right there, that call right there, that play. Free throw misses. Troy gets it. They're down. They can't score anyway. They can't tie it, but they launch the ball. Horn goes. Everyone goes crazy, and you're cutting down the nets. They did have the attendance figure. It was over 5,600. They broke the women's UB Bulls all-time single-game attendance record. Amazing. So congratulations. Becky Burke has done a phenomenal job with that program and that team. And she's been at the helm for a couple of years now. And she's kind of put them a little bit, kept them, I say, on the map from when Felicia Leggett-Jack was there. And I know that they went to an NCAA tournament, but she's done a really good job of navigating to keep it the program relevant and in the forefront and winning. You just hope that, you know, going forward, you can keep someone like Becky Burke because she's going to have opportunities. When you win like that, no doubt, you know, bigger schools come calling. And we've seen that happen at Buffalo before. I remember doing Bobby Hurley's radio show with him here on WGR. Actually, it was for the Bet 1520 at the time. But I would go over to UB once a week, and I would do Bobby Hurley's radio show with him. And I'd record it, and it was Bobby Hurley. I grew up watching Duke and all that. And like, man, I can't believe this guy's here. And sure enough, he does an amazing job, really lifts the program to new heights. He winds up getting a better job, another job, more pay, better conference over at Arizona State, which he's still there. His assistant was Nate Oates here at UB. Nate Oates winds up taking the helm, does what he does, and where does he go? Goes to Alabama to get the job, right? This is what happens when you are a mid-major, when you're a lower program, and you start winning. And in each of those instances, I remember people being very upset at Bobby Hurley, very upset at Nate Oates. Yeah, you know, you got to stay and finish what you started. Folks, I mean, these are life decisions. These are career decisions for lots and lots of money and the pinnacle of your career. I never fault anybody for doing those things. All of us are faced with those decisions in one aspect or another in our life. Might be different for you. Maybe you would decide something different, but you just know kind of the deal when you're at a school in the MAC. You're at a school in the Southwest Athletic Conference, right? Whatever it is. And I use that because Brian Hodgson, he goes from Arkansas State doing a great job. He's now the head coach at the University of South Florida. Gets a nice job. A good program. Or at least a D1 upper level program. And he's, by the way, I bring him up because he's from Jamestown and now he's there. Now look at Carlin Hartman. We'll see where he lands next. Is he going to land somewhere? Carlin Hartman, congratulations to him. He was on WGR last week with Mike Shope. They both went to Grand Island. I think they graduated together from Grand Island. And they're friends. We've had Carlin on this program when he was at, I think, UNLV last year. I don't know if you were producing Josh and we had him on. Maybe you were, but Carlin came on this program as well when he was assistant at UNLV. He's been at Oklahoma, UNLV. Now he's at Florida, associate head coach. They win the national title. And you wonder if his name starts popping up in circles for head jobs around the country. Big Bills fan, by the way. Florida, well represented by Western New Yorkers and Bills fans. Carlin Hartman, the associate head coach, and their director of basketball operations, his name escapes me right now, I apologize, also from Western New York. College basketball has, to me, always had and always been not necessarily about the coaches, but they're a very, very big part of the landscape of the sport. And growing up as a Syracuse basketball fan, not just a guy who went there, I grew up a Syracuse fan. And the old Big East still tugs at the heartstrings for me. And I miss so much the personalities of coaches. And Jimmy Boeheim. And Lou Carnesecca and his sweatshirts at St. John's. And Jerry Tarkanian biting the towel. Then he goes to UNLV. We know that. PJ Carlissimo at Seton Hall. Right? Jim Calhoun at UConn. I mean, some amazing coaches that just made the league, the conference, so fun on top of the great players. And I think today it still resonates. And I do think of all the kind of sports that you watch, I think college basketball still is in large part a coach's game. Like the coaches have a lot to do with the success or failure of teams compared to other sports. Like, I don't know, maybe somebody could tell me, no, coach totally matters in hockey. I don't think it matters as much, but matters a little bit for sure. I don't know much of manager matters in baseball other than a move here or there, right? But the overall success. Football, I do think it does matter quite a bit. But I think in college basketball, I think certainly more than the NBA. College basketball, I think certainly more than college football to me. And you got a good one here in Becky Burke. I think she's a fantastic coach. She's taken this program and kept it, I should say, at a really nice level. Now, no idea what the future holds. Hopefully she's here for many years. And they can keep this moving. That was a great, great game and atmosphere to be a part of at Alumni Arena on Saturday. Congratulations to the University of Buffalo women's basketball team, the UB Bulls, on winning the WNIT 2025. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back here. We'll wrap up your Tuesday with one final reminder. If you missed what I said earlier, I'm throwing something out to you that you can be a part of today that's pretty big. All right? I'll do that when we come back on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Okay, got a couple things for you here. First, tune in to Show Up in the Bulldog for our annual pre-draft special. That's on Thursday, April 17th, a week from Thursday. It's from 4 to 6:30 p.m. We're going to stream it live on YouTube. We're going to bring you the latest insights and mock draft predictions, insider information, and guest appearances from Jeremy White, Joe DiBiase, Nate Geary, and I'll be there as well. The show is going to be presented by your Upstate Honda dealers. Visit your local Upstate Honda dealer today for excellent deals on their entire Honda lineup, including the all-new Honda Passport. Also, we have your ticket to 8 amazing golf experiences with the WGR VIP golf card. Check this out. For just one low price of $129, unlock a season of golfing adventures, including Diamond Hawk, Shamrock Hills, Attica's 10th Hole and Golf Course, Bobolink, and Golf Dojo. Your WGR VIP golf card also hooks you up with a free box of premium Vero X1 golf balls from Encore Golf and score deals at Rick Zaret Golf Warehouse on Transit Road in Bowmansville. It's right by the airport, by the way. A portion of the proceeds will benefit PGA Hope. Get all the details and purchase your WGR VIP golf card today at getmyperks.com. That's getmyperks.com. So a lot going on there and something going on today that I always love every year. It's one of my favorite shows, podcasts to do every year. Today, Matt Bove and I, Channel 7 sports director here at the ABC affiliate, WKBW-TV, my co-host on It's Always Game Day in Buffalo, we will be recording our annual podcast with one of the NFL head schedule makers, Mike North. We do it every year. It's a great listen, I think, for a lot of people who've told me that. We've gone for like an hour and a half before with Mike. It's amazing, some of the insight we get. Last year we learned about networks actually can't protect games before the season starts. You can't go, oh, we're going to protect Bills Chiefs on CBS. No. You can only protect games once flex scheduling starts happening and maybe you were scheduled for something and they might take it away from you. That happened. We've learned about the process of the schedule, a lot of stuff. Here's your chance. Tweet at me, at Sal Sports. I can't promise I'll get the question in, but I'll take a look at it, and if it fits and we can do it, I will. Tweet me, at Sal Sports, any question you'd like me to ask Mike North today on the podcast. He's not going to tell us the schedule, folks. They don't have it. Don't say who the Bills opening with. We don't know that. Josh, you got anything?
Yeah, I was thinking a lot about, you know, this whole Australia game we have this year. And
next year.
Or next
year. Not coming this year.
Right. But in terms of, you know, how closely they're going to be watching that for any other particular, you know, potential events in the future, not necessarily just Australia, but other events kind of in that time zone. Like, what if they ever want to do a game in Japan?
Sure. Absolutely.
You know, like, there's, yeah. I wonder, like, how much they're willing to branch out depending on how that game goes.
Yeah. So I think the overall plan right now would be to branch out, but that's a great point. Like, you kind of got to give it a test run in some way. And I'd say that that's a test because it's a real game. But in 2027, when they play in Australia, that's a great chance to see how does this impact bodies, clocks, time, travel, right? All that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I just think that in general, like even the game in Ireland, I mean, sure, yeah. It's not England, but like what are they going to be looking for with that? You know what I mean? Like,
I'm interested. One of the questions we will ask today, what about this rumor about the Chiefs saying they'd like to play on Christmas every year?
Oh.
Right? God. Like
no.
A, I don't know if you can confirm that or not, but either way, like, would that be something the league would consider? Hey, let's make a team the Black Friday yearly team. Let's make a team a Christmas Day team.
I mean, they have two
right.
Thanksgiving teams.
100%. 100%. So those are things we'll talk about today. We're going to record that a little bit later this afternoon, so look for it. I think tomorrow morning is when it'll drop in your podcast feed. That's iTunes, that's Spotify, wherever you pod. And of course, go to YouTube, @SalSports on YouTube. Subscribe to the channel, @SalSports. You'll get all of the shows. It's always game day in Buffalo, and they'll be right there, including this one with Mike North. Later today, we'll talk to him. Sabres Live up next, then One Bills Live. Show up in the Bulldog at 3. Thanks for hanging with me today here on WGR. I'll be back tomorrow for the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.